Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Friday, April 5th, 2024. It's 12:24 in the afternoon Eastern Time. Markets are up slightly, but down for the week, so we'll see what's going on there. We had a strong labor report come out earlier today. General Electric, once considered the bluest of the blue chips, split into several companies earlier this week. It was recently announced that Krispy Kreme and McDonald's have a deal where Krispy Kreme donuts will be available at McDonald's starting this fall. And there was a big pop on the Krispy Kreme stock on that news. So we'll see what's going on with that. It was also announced that right here in Central Florida, an electric highway is going to be built that will charge electric cars as they drive on them. So we'll see what's going on there. And I recently ran into somebody I gave investment advice to decades ago. And they were telling me how well it worked out for them. It's something I've talked about in the past, but I'm going to start recovering today over the next few sessions, index mutual funds. So talk about what's going on with that. Simple, effective method of investing that pretty much anybody could do, but that a lot of people in the financial industry just don't want to tell you about. So talking about that over the next few sessions, then return to mutual fund screeners. Markets are down most of the week, although slightly up today. Markets had some concerns that the Federal Reserve might not be lowering interest rates as quickly or as often as anticipated. Also, market has growing concerns over the war in the Middle East. However, today, markets are up slightly. We got the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 1.08%, S&P 500 up 1.33%, NASDAQ Composite up 1.52%. Yeah, we had the March labor report come out earlier today. It was anticipated to show that 200,000 new jobs were created in the United States in the month of March. Number came in at 303,000, showing almost 10,000 new jobs a day are being created here in the United States. Now, this report is subject to a lot of revisions, so that may not be the final number, but overall, just really, really strong. I saw a number recently that as of right now, we have more people working in the United States than any time in our history, partly due to the higher population, but that is driving the U.S. economy. Numbers are showing that the U.S. economy is the strongest in the world right now. Now, as I said on previous sessions, though, I'm always hesitant to say we got a strong booming economy. If unfortunately somebody just got laid off, well, it's not booming for them, but overall, the numbers are showing a strong economy. Now, basically, when the market sees a number like this, it has two reactions. One is that, well, this is going to now tight labor market. Companies are going to have to raise wages to attract workers. Wages are usually the biggest expense a company has. They'll raise prices. That's inflation. Federal Reserve may not lower interest rates, trying to keep the slow down the economy to battle inflation. But then on the other side, when you've got strong numbers like this, the idea is people are out there working, they have more money to spend, increases company sales and profits. So market seems to be focusing more on that. Another big part of that report showed the unemployment rates at 3.8%, near record lows right now. That is considered a full employment economy. Anything 4% or under is usually considered full employment. The idea behind that is even in a full employment economy, you're going to have a certain number of individuals that would be at least temporarily unemployed. Again, the definition of unemployed is not being out of work. It's being out of work and actively looking for a job. You know, if somebody's lucky enough to win the big Powerball that's out there, which I certainly hope would be you, and you decide not to work anymore, well, you wouldn't actually be unemployed, you'd be retired. But so why would we have around 4% or so of the population unemployed in a full employment economy? Well, Each month, you have people come out of the military looking for jobs. You have people graduating from colleges and universities. Starting next month, May and June, we'll have people graduating from high school looking for jobs. Somebody may have unfortunately recently been laid off or fired, now looking for a job. They may have quit a job on their own for various reasons, now looking. You might have a couple where one just got a new job in a new city, the other one's now looking. So that's usually why the number would stay around 4% or so. But yeah, strong numbers. General Electric. This was the company founded in 1884 by Thomas Edison. It was considered the strongest, the most blue chip of the blue chips. Blue chip, what that means is strong, stable companies. I'm told that's because the blue chips in poker are considered the best. I've never checked that myself, but that's what blue chip stocks mean. Yeah, and this was the company that could do no wrong. It was an original component of the Dow Jones Industrial Average in 1896. And I remembered back in the day, at least into the 90s, probably early 2000s, I was told it was the only blue chip stock that had never failed to report a quarterly profit. And I did know that was true. They had never failed to report a quarterly profit. I don't know if they were the only one. But yeah, even in the Great Depression of the 1930s, GE continued to make a profit. And I do remember this company well. When I was a trader for the New York Stock Exchange, my specific job was floor specialist. And what floor specialists do, our jobs, we had a group of stocks we were responsible for. Our job was to maintain an orderly market in the stock. We did not set direction up or down, but we tried to smooth things out to keep it from gyrating all over the place. Also, we would buy when nobody else would, and we would sell when nobody else would. We had an inventory that we dealt with. Anyway, I had seven stocks that I was responsible for, but GE was the big one. I was responsible for at least 3 years for maintaining an orderly market in GE stock. I had the personal direct line to Jack Welch. He was the CEO. At the time, he was considered the best CEO in America. You know, he had some controversies over the years with some of his, you know, business practices and so forth, but yeah, actually, I used to mostly deal with the chief financial officers, a guy named Jeff Immelt and some others they had. But anyway, GE, I knew the company well, got invited to the holiday party every year. And just so you know how this works, maybe it's changed today, but back in the day, each company that trades on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, 2,800 of them, there's somebody on the exchange floor responsible for that stock. Again, the floor specialist. So an example, we had direct lines directly to the companies. They could contact us directly. An example of how this might work, if you had a company had big news about to release, they might call over to the exchange floor and request a trading halt. Now, it's a request, but we almost always accommodated it. So request a halt on the trading of the stock. So we would simply stop trading on the stock. We would then wait for the news. We'd get it along with everyone else. And let's say it was really, really good news. Let's say the stock was at $42 a share when we requested the halt. Well, now we have to figure out what price to restart trading at. And we did what was called a rotation. I would be talking to my fellow traders that were buying and selling the stock, you know, representing various brokerage firms and so forth. I looked at the electronic orders that were coming in back then. And what I might do is test the price of 50. All right, how about reopening it at 50? And I still got more buyers than sellers. Okay, not high enough. How about 55? Now I got more sellers than buyers. Okay, how about bring it down to maybe 53? All right, at 53, it looks like things have evened out. We would then restart trading on the stock at $53 a share, up $11. So that's kind of how that worked. I'm sure today it's all technology and stuff, but that's how we did it. Anyway, so Jack Welch, the way he built GE back in the 80s into the 90s, basically borrow money, and then buy companies. And this worked out really well for them for quite a while. They owned NBC Television, Universal Studios, movie studios, theme park out in California at the time. They got into healthcare companies, energy production. They had their light bulbs still, and this just really worked. But what happened? The debt began to pile higher and higher. GE ended up with more debt than any company in history. At one point, this was way back in the late 90s, I figured out they were paying over $1 million an hour in interest. And as time went on, some of these purchases they made just didn't work out as well for them. And so what began to happen is, the debt became an issue. The stock price started going down. Jack Welch retired 2001. His successor seemed to be trying to keep the stock price up by just buying back the stock. They were having to sell off companies to pay down their debt. And eventually in 2019, I believe it was, they got kicked out of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. They've been an original component of it since 1896, replaced by Walgreens. And so what has happened? The company's stock price just collapsed. I'll give you an idea what happened to it. And it's now split into three different companies, although there may be some possibilities because overall, the company itself has been doing pretty well lately. Okay, so here's what they did. Back in 2022, I believe, they spun their healthcare division off into its own company, trading symbol GEHC, General Electric Henry Charlie. Okay, so this company is called GE Healthcare Technologies. It actually trades on NASDAQ. So let's see how it's been doing. Okay, so started trading back in December 2022, $58 a share. Up to near its record high, just under $90 a share right now, $89.26. Okay, earlier this week, though, they did split now into two more companies. The original company, General Electric, still trades under GE. Okay, so this now is more into aerospace. They actually sold their light bulb division off a little while back. So basically GE, give you an idea what's happened with this stock. Okay, its peak was August of 2000. Give you an idea, 1975, when I entered the industry, it was around $4 a share. That's after stock splits. Eventually got up to $254 a share by August of 2000. And then dropped all the way down to, where was it here? I think it was around, $30 a share. In July 2020, around $30 a share. Since then, it's back up to $154. Lately, been going up quite a bit. So something to keep an eye on, GE stock, symbol GE. But they also sold off, split off an energy production division this week. So GEV is this new company. It's called GE Verona. So General Electric and then V for Verona. So this is back, I think it's been down since it started trading. Yeah, started trading on Monday, $142 a share, now at $127. So, all right, something to keep an eye on there. Okay, a few other things. Yeah, it was announced here a few days ago, we're going to have an electric highway built here in Central Florida, a 5-mile highway, so not very long, but the idea, it'll be powered by solar power panels. And that as electric cars drive on it, it will recharge the electric car batteries just by driving on it. Now, it's obviously, it's the first step, just the 5-mile stretch of road. But yeah, something that definitely could be a solution for the future if you don't have to actually charge your electric car, just the roads it would drive on would charge it. Now, building this for every road in the United States could take decades and might or might not be financially feasible. But yeah, keep an eye. I've said in the past that a possible strategy going forward with electric cars is not the cars themselves, would be investing in companies that build charging stations. Instead, now it might be companies that would build the components that go into these electric roads, as they're already being called. The solar panels may or may not work in all areas, depends how effective and efficient they get. Florida is called the Sunshine State for a reason. You get a lot of sunshine, but some areas, it's a lot of cloudiness. Days are just not as long certain times of the year. But yeah, something to keep an eye on. So 5-mile stretch electric highway. Okay, Krispy Kreme donuts. It was announced a few days ago. Big deal at McDonald's. Krispy Kreme symbol, by the way, is DNUT for Donut, David, Nancy, Uncle Timothy. I remember Dunkin' Donuts years ago was a publicly traded stock. They used Dunk for their trading symbol. But anyway, Krispy Kreme, DNUT. This is a stock that's had its up and downs, but it was announced that Krispy Kreme donuts will be sold in McDonald's starting this fall. And so what happened, the stock was around $12.50 a share, shot up to $17.50, a little over 15 right now, but something to keep an eye on. So we have that news also. And then to wrap things up today, I recently ran into somebody I gave investment advice to back in 1986. And it's investment advice I've talked about in the past, and I'll talk about more starting on the next session. It was taught to me as a teenager. It's very simple advice. Invest in an S&P 500 index mutual fund. And it's a very simple thing that almost really anybody could do. You could start with small amounts of money. And the reason a lot of people in the financial industry don't want to tell you about it is, you know, as I've talked about in the past, the way the financial industry, particularly the brokerage industry, is built is to convince everybody that the stuff is more complex than it is. So you'll buy their books, pay for investment advice, whatever. Reality, it's actually pretty simple. Well, anyway, I'll go over that strategy again, starting with the next session. I've covered it in the past, but it's been quite a while. And so what this individual told me, his name's Randy. I remember back in 1986, through a mutual friend, him and his brother inherited $100,000 apiece from their grandmother. And I gave them advice to what to do with it. I said, probably invest in an S&P 500 index mutual fund, which is what I've been doing all these decades. I was taught this by very, you know, experienced stockbrokers when I was a teenager. Anyway, so he told me what happened. I just ran into him. He said his brother, instead, what he did, he went chasing the hot investment of the week, the month, whatever. He was investing in penny stocks, speculating with option contracts. And his brother lost all his money within about a year. Randy invested in an S&P 500 index mutual fund back in 1986, $100,000. And he told me that bill today, that's worth $2.1 million. And I did go back and check the numbers. That is about what that would have grown to. So I'll start talking about that on the next session. You can start with as little as $25, but that'll be for the next session. So, and then I'll talk about other ways to invest in index mutual funds, including enhanced mutual funds that go up and down twice as much as the markets and so forth. But we'll talk about that on the upcoming sessions. Hope everyone's doing well. Again, Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and I'll talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.